Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday night. Happy New Year. This is Gray Eye Smith, and you're listening to Bad Company, a late-night poets production. We are a group of poets on allpoetry.com, and we also have anthologies available on amazon.com. that help support these shows. So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. And tonight's show is based on a contest that Lee Wildub and myself ran, and it was Turn Your 2021 Bronze into 2022 Gold. So those are the poems for tonight. And I'm just going to post the first poem into the group here. And I will give this a read. This is called The Buddha of Suburbia by T. Perry 898. If I could ask a question without heed of conscious thought, would all my ramblings illustrate the lessons I was taught? Will words empower people for to change the status quo? Or will they simply illustrate I've still got far to go? The crowd now surging forward are now seeking true advice. They're searching for an answer, but cannot afford the price. A poet offers breadcrumbs for their ease, or to ease their sad despair, then claims impartiality and says he doesn't care. Come forward, men of letters, all the rich ones and the meek, the poor and disaffected, and the ones who dare not speak. Come scribes and priests and zealots who may issue sad concern, mad despots, clowns, and killers that have matches left to burn. Come the blacks and the sad downtrodden, the saints and sinners too, who are reaching for a heaven that's hidden out of view. Blame the blameless and the nameless who commit the perfect crime that linger on the sidelines as they simply bide their time. Buddha of Suburbia, a powerful poet full of wit, shall formulate his answer that is guaranteed to fit. The truth is, nothing matters, and nothing ever would. The good will always need the bad. The bad will need the good. End poem. And I thought this was just fascinating in its depth. You know, we're all seeking answers, and sometimes those answers don't matter. You know, as long as you keep searching for these answers, I think that's the key. Well done, T. Perry. Excellent, right? And I'll grab the next poem here. And this is by the Playful Poet. I'll post this into the group. Check the studio quick, see if we have any callers. None yet. Okay, so here we go. This is called A Little Sugar by the Playful Poet. Before I met you, I was a lemon. I was all squeezed out and sour. Cut up too soon, my juices dried up. I was a stain on the sidewalk, a rock on a road. But then you came. You came to me like a bird in spring, and your song was a song of sweets. You were chocolate frosted donut. Your red and yellow sprinkles shone like gems before my eyes. How could I not taste you? And now I have eaten. My fruit is flesh again. My sourness has turned sweet. A little sugar makes a fine lemonade. And that's beautiful. The imagery is fantastic. And I really like the whole poem, but, you know, the middle stanza. But then you came. You came to me like a bird in spring, and your song was a song of sweet. You were a chocolate frosted donut. Your red and yellow sprinkles shone like gems before my eyes. How could I not taste you? Yeah, that was beautiful. And I'm going to grab the next poem here. Once I get to it, here we go. Post this into the group. Okay, here we go. This is Growing Up by Kurt Key. More, once more, acerbic age, damned destiny's disinfectant, gnaws at fanged froth with pregnant purpose, through the heart of rock, through the unmade bed of being that beheld even the sun as a freckle to be forgotten. Growing pit, gorge of shrinking mount, seed of sap, spring's worming branch, a meager molt of rot, breaking, might meek, rinds against timeless skin of strength, vining for green crown, frozen claws, can only writhe in solid suspense, marvel of fate, prune of prime, to be carved human by patient teeth of time. Shh, listen now. Here comes over the hills a heady shadow, the setting sun strapped upon its back, clutching with mimes of iron, the hands of his sole guide, ever vicious wind. Do you hear it scrape against the stone? Young prey, creeping gaunt, to hide from his hunter, ever merciless truth. This sleeping farmstead grieves with his haunt. O father, your eyes sing sadness, a dusty sigh of burdened years, aching testament to joy's unpolished want. Now it's my turn to drape our field with spring's laughter, to sigh and yearn at the moon as if I'd only courage to climb it. I, my home, my rock of mud, bracing black wind, my cooing willows, wetting moonshine with weeping barb, my whispering greens, unbosoming lonely chirps, blowing blind prayers over heavy earth. I, deering dearth over plenty, does sing. Oh, come on already, another morning. Rise, ye barest bulb, soak the plains with your crimson stain, the open sky with salted blood. Mop heaven's raw sins off earth, gel this broken land. If burning bombs with the fire of life, crisp the cooling waves of sorrow's sop, dance, meet the dance of pixies, food for flowers, honeyed meld of pulp some. Come, just gush it, make a festival of our tomb. I must now shoulder hope to carry generations on. End poem. Oh, no. O son of man, jeweled tear of night, sweet sapling of dying tree, lost cry in the storm, now you see what reason be for me. Death. And this is on the author's note. It says, from when I first saw my father struggle. Thanks for the wonderful prompt. And, yeah, this is a haunting, right? You know, full of tragic imagery and a fascinating storyline. Metaphorical, cryptic, and just a well-penned altogether. Beautiful job, Kurt. All right, so I'm going to check the studio real quick here. Oh, and we have callers. Woo, woo. Hello, and welcome to the show, Pam Ray.
Well, thank you, Gray Eye Smith. It's good to be here.
Happy New Year. Okay, yeah. I'm going to bring on another caller here.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, Salwa.
Hello.
Hi,
Happy New
Salwa.
Year. Hi, Pam. Hi, Gray. Happy New
Year.
Hey,
Salwa.
Great.
Good to hear you.
Good to hear you, too. Yeah, I heard you reading it, so I didn't. From the beginning, but I would let Pam go first.
Well, thank you for
it
calling in.
It got quiet. Oh, there he is.
Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And
oh,
I'm going to grab the next poem here. Now, Salwa, do you have to go soon?
I have to work tomorrow, but I can stay. What time? I can stay probably for an hour until 11:30
okay.
Or so.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, you bet. Pam, if you wouldn't mind, please, can you read for Lover of Words?
I would be happy to. All right. And this is Transferable Skills by Lover of Words, and it goes like this. It pays to marry a harmonica player, you purred, as I reach the
Hello? Hello, Pam?
Hello? Did she drop?
I think we lost Pam. I think we lost Pam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did.
Unfortunate. I'm sure she's going to call back.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. Okay, I'll go ahead and read this. This is called Transferable Skills by Lover of Words.
Oh,
it pays to marry a harmonica player. You purred as I reached the flutter tongue finale. Those words, your taste, still linger. End poem. And I like it, you know, it's short and to the point. Just beautifully written and fascinating imagery as well. What did you think, Sawa?
I'm sorry, I timed out. Give me 1 second. I'm going back to the poem. The title, Transferable Skills, it pays to many. Flutter tongue, final those words, your taste still linger. The poem was previously won bronze. I'm just trying to see if there is something in the author note that give any hint. It pays to marry. Oh, to marry. America player. I didn't hear this part. You appeared as rich. That's someone who really appreciating music and his wife. That's really beautiful. It's such a small dedication, but with so many words. Appreciating in particular her like this part of her, which is beautiful. Can you hear me? Or did I get dropped? Hello?
No, we can hear you.
I didn't know what was happening. I'm sorry. I thought for a minute I was not there. Sorry about that. Okay.
Thank you, Sawa. That was a wonderful comment.
My pleasure.
And Pam, did you get to hear the poem?
I did not. I got to hear me read it, but, I dropped. So, but I think since it is a short one, a tanka, and it's a very well-written one, I did get a chance to read it. And I have to say that this made me laugh and it made me smile. And I also have to say that my next relationship is going to be with a harmonica player. So, damn.
Right.
Excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Okay, so I have the next poem up. It's called The Surgeon by the Poet, and we have a SoundCloud for that.
The Surgeon. This church is in my blood. My bones and my ancestors lie in this church. In life, I fixed man's flesh and bones. I was the father of many men of medicine. Some of my children traveled to distant lands. I was a Victorian man of my time. I lie in death with my children and relatives long gone. I lie where pilgrims traverse to see where Shakespeare once lay, including one of the young future mothers of my descendants to come.
Well, that was a beautiful read. And, you know, the poem is short and to the point. I really like, you know, the descriptive nature of the poem. This is a surgeon who's, you know, born many men of medicine, and some of his children had traveled to distant lands. He was a Victorian man of time, and he lays within death with his children, relatives long gone. This is beautiful. It's the author's note says Dr. Nisson was a surgeon. He was my ancestor of Dr. Thomas Robert Nason's father. He lies here with his father, Major John Robert Nason, his grandfather, Reverend Stephen Nason, Stephen Nason's grave mount. But yeah, they all lie interred at the churches. Shakespeare and his family, Reverend, worked there with the Reverend. Shakespeare was moved, but his family remained in the church with mine. Yeah, fascinating story. Just beautifully written. What did you think, Pam?
I really liked this. It was a wonderful tale of family history. And what I like is that she brings us into a part of her family history between the rite itself and her AN, but the right she puts in a first-person narrative from the point of view of an ancestor of hers. And I really thought that was a nice, clever touch and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Salwa, what did you think?
Absolutely. I agree with both of you. I like how she didn't say he. It just make it more like a form of respect for him, and especially that she has blood related. I didn't know about him, so it really made me curious. I'm going to search more. Beautifully read, too. I love the way she has a great voice, and made me very curious about who's this person now. Great story.
Well said. Thank you, Stella.
Okay,
so I'm going to post the next poem here. And if you wouldn't mind, Sawa, will you read the next one?
Of course, I'll be honored. I'm just refreshing the page. One second. Let me look first. No complicated words. Yes. Thank you. Ching in the ashes. Charlie's waiting. Often I wonder, why wait? I wish it were not so. The reasons may be many. Some of them I know. Sky's blue, grass green, hopes and matter, matted black. The only answer is she might never make it back. A butterfly told me, whispered to me her name. Said it was me, that I was entirely to blame. If I had released her, then she may have stayed. Instead, I netted her till she finally felt betrayed. I offered, promised, bowed that I'd always care, was willing and willingly to nourish our affair. I didn't let it grow to become canopy of desire, or infernos become a flash, even not a fire. I'm remorse or pain, no anguish is my moniker. I drawn in the crimson pool that I bleed through her. The sunset on the horizon, full moon skirted by. I sit solo, meet to the stars only. I can hear my sigh and the form.
Beautiful read, Sawa. And
thank you.
You know, I really like it. You know, this is a very reflective self, you know, introspective piece about losing this love that you captured and held it without letting it grow. And now you sit alone, and only you can hear your sigh. Just a fabulous write. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. It is a fabulous write. And I like how it brings us into a moment of interflecting, of a contemplation on the inside, and how this person is looking back at how they betrayed someone and, you know, the regrets that they have. It's a very emotive write, and I really particularly am drawn to the second stanza that starts with the butterfly told to me her name. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. And Sawa, what did you think of the poem that you
Sorry,
read?
I said yes because the same stanza that attracted me. I said yes. Sorry, Pam. I really find it fabulous, too, from the start to the end. Even from the title, Etchings in the Ashes, you kind of tell us that something sad is going to happen. There is so much wishing and longing. Often I wonder, why wait? I wish it were not so. It's just so sad. I offer promise. There's so much he's really telling us how much he regrets and remorse. As he end up, but I love the stanza in the middle, butterfly told me, whisper to me her name. That's just so beautiful. Great, great write.
Thank you, Sawa. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and it has a SoundCloud with it, so I'll play that.
Oh, just so you know, you have a caller online.
Once we were open-mouthed.
Okay, I'm going to bring them on before I read, maybe before I play the poem. Hello, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Well, thank you for inviting me, as always, and Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year, Frank.
Great to have you. Okay, so I've got the next poem up, and I'm going to play the SoundCloud for that.
Love that. Once we were open mouths, necks stretched as baby birds begging for comfort and nourishment. Hands spread, fanned out as moth wings, exploring with lithe iridescent fingers the wild forests of our cold misted flesh, feeling blindly for body warmth and flame. Mounds of my bosom pressed against your rough trunk, covered in brown moss. We wrapped ourselves heartbeat to heartbeat, pounding together as ritual drums, tongues waltzing slow circles around bared splintered teeth, branches bitten beneath the full moon of mad desire. Entangled trees, we held each other eye to eye, irises sparkling like jeweled dragons wreathed in orange fire. Toes rooted, legs curled, bodies entwined, with no light or air between us, our love knot tightened.
Well, that was beautifully read. It's such a touching poem, full of commitment and enduring love for somebody so deep that you can wind yourself into a knot and just be entwined. Excellent, right? Excellent read. What did you think, Pam?
I really liked this one. I thought she had wonderful use of imagery and metaphors, that it was a beautiful sensual rite that's filled with passion and the idea of being eternally connected to someone, to where you both nourish each other. So excellent rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Salma, what did you think?
Yes, it's a really beautiful rite. I love the repetition. We wrapped ourselves heart to heart and then later held each other eye to eye. Just so beautiful and so delicate. I agree with Pam. So sensual, but there's this feeling of tied together, really, as she said, and not tighten them together with passion. It's just amazing, right? Beautiful.
Thank you, Sawa. And Frank, what did
My
you
pleasure.
Think?
Well, I have to agree. This was it almost felt like a sensual tango. It was just beautifully written. I like the whole analogy to be inspired there. I think my favourite lines from this piece are the mounds on my bosom pressed against your rough trunk covered in frost moss. This is very great. You know, you think about those central lines and using the prompt as the writer, the poetess did. She did a fantastic job here, just using the elements of nature, particularly the tree, of course, and just wrapping us around with the central poem. It's very cool.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate the read. You're comment. Welcome. Would you mind reading, Frank?
Just bear with me. I'm going to have to see if my phone gets me up to... What is the poem?
It's Ode Across the Sea by Gretchen Meisner.
All right, I'm going to have to see if I can get my phone to cooperate here. I might have to do the next one there, because I know I don't want to take all of your time. Unfortunately, my phone is just not giving me the speed enough to get it to the poem.
Okay.
I do apologize for that.
We do have a caller. Hello, is that you, Bobby?
No, it's Tom.
Oh, it's the other 703. Hi, Thomas.
Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Okay, so we have a poem by Gretchen Meisner, and it's called Out Across the Sea. Storm there is raging, out across the sea, never one so beautiful as what we see in thee. Energy of enlightenment arises to the top, drawing in so many loves that shall never stop. You have found depths of soul that many seek. Keep looking, shining bright, bring guidance to the meek. We love how strong and able you onward fiercely go, encouraging others knowingly to go forward as you glow. Never any doubt who you are, who you be, shining out a beacon on a stormy night at sea. Allow the waves to crash. They will. storming once again. Thunder and lightning seems it will never end. Illumination is priceless. Attunement, jubilee. A journey we take together, one and all, yes, you and me. So stand beside the special one. Allow the brightness as the sun to shine, dear hosts of light divine. Beautiful. End poem. But yeah, this is just a lovely poem, full of inspiration, and it's delightful in its simple nature, and the fact that it, you know, uses beautiful scenes of a storm. I live in British Columbia, and we get some fierce storms over here, so I can see the sea stormy as it is. Just beautiful. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree. It is absolutely beautiful. And what I like about this is it works well. It has wonderful rhyme and flow. It works well as a rite that is simply paying tribute to the lighthouse itself and the importance of the lighthouse in such areas, you know, where there's heavy storms or by, you know, like the Great Lakes, like Lake Superior or by the ocean. But it also works well on a metaphorical level, and the idea that there are people in our lives who set an example for us or who are there for us when we're going through our own storms, who are like the lighthouses that guide us, that beacon of hope and light. So I thought this was very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That's a great comment. And Sawa, what did you think?
I agree with you, Pam. I feel like he really has, he took it literally as the storm and the lighthouse, but also about life. As he ended the end, so stand beside the special one, allow the brightness as the sun to shine, the house of light divine. But also about the waves, how they crash and the thunder of life. We are faced with this in life as well. And sometimes it seems never end. It comes back and forth. Really well done. I love how he take us from storm to energy and the depth, and how we found depths of soul that made me seek, keep looking and shining bright. So if you look deep inside of us, we'll find light. There's so many messages in this beautiful poem.
Well said. Thank you, Sawa. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I have to say that this is I really like the imagery throughout the poem here. You know, I could not help but get beyond the lighthouse there. But, you know, that poem is strong in itself in the imagery. But the poem, you know, it is very much, it's evocative as well. You know, there is, you know, a lot of emotions being written in this piece here. You know, there is a bit of philosophy being ascribed here. But I like that whole notion of the house of light divine. You know, you take that picture there and you see that light there, it pierces, it penetrates throughout the ocean waves there, the clouds. And it really almost feels that you are that lighthouse there. And I almost felt that the energy, that soul was saying, is that sense of you as a being there. So this is a very powerful piece, I would say.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. And Thomas, what were your thoughts on the poem?
Well, I really think it's a beautiful description of the lighthouse and the importance that it holds for those who are out at sea. At the same time, when you read a verse such as, you have found depths of soul that many seek, keep looking and shining bright, bring guidance to the meek, it really seems to me also have that additional layer of speaking of the divine light that is there to guide and bring direction to the faithful. It's a beautiful piece in any case, because she handles it so smoothly and so gently, even as she describes all the fierceness that's going on around the lighthouse. There's a sense of grace about the whole thing that I find utterly delightful. Very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. Okay, Thomas, I know you said you couldn't stay long, so I put your poem up if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Thank you. Yeah, well, it's the holidays. I've been family and friends. What can I say? Okay, This is how to hold sunshine. The principle is that nature does something against its own will and by self-entanglement produces beauty. Reuchler. These efforts by the pale snowdrops to raise a light of joy above the last drifts of winter, kindle a magical wonder, lead us to remember that spring will come. Warmth to light will once again raise sweat upon our brow. How we are led to know our feelings by blossom's light. Flowers find a way to create a light where shadows always stay bright sun. These wonders that draw the bee, butterfly, and others who dance in pollen add a scent to the air. How fresh we feel with flowers' delight, painting the landscape in reds, blues, and laughing yellows. Daffodils, daisies, even dandelion hold the sunshine, define a bright day as they tease the shy lily from the shadows. Celebrate the dahlia and the iris with their colors aglow. These sunny months would soon grow drab if these wonders of blossom and delight did not show us all the joys that colors can create as blossoms erupt across the field, dance upon the lake's edge, brighten the base of the hedge, dance in the clenched hand of the maiden soon to be wed. Life's joy after the shower is found with the awakening opening of these graceful gifts of flowers. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, Thomas, and such a delightful poem filled with such color and vivid imagery. I thought it was just fascinating, your ability to paint a picture out of your words, and you did that quite beautifully. Just a wonderful job, Thomas.
Oh, thank you.
You bet. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, wonderful read there. I like the title, How to Hold Sunshine. Instantly that grabs your attention. And I like that you turn to within this rite to the idea of finding the light, finding the gifts in the darker moments of life by taking a look at the lessons that nature has to teach us, particularly one of the smaller aspects of nature, the flower. And this is beautiful all the way through. But I really like that third stanza that says daffodils, daisy, even dandelions hold the sunshine, that you remind us that the dandelion that's seen as nothing more than a pesky weed by far too many people equally holds sunshine as beautifully and significantly as the daffodils and the daisy. Just a wonderful, thoughtful write all the way through and very well done.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. And Saul, what did you think?
Oh, I love how you have a way with nature, Tommy. This is really beautiful. You can tell how much you enjoy it. I love the first stanza, these efforts by the pale snowdrops to raise a light of joy, the effort of the snow. It's just amazing, even the beginning. And then the whole poem reminds me of the message that after the storm there will always be beauty, or after rain, especially at the end when you said life joys after the shower is found in the awakening opening of these graceful gifts of flowers. It's so true. Sometimes this harsh winter and rain and all this, but at the end we'll have a beautiful spring. Just beautifully done. I really enjoyed it, every line.
Well said. Thank you, Sawa. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I have to say, to commend Thomas on this poem, this is a beautiful write, my friend. You just bring, as someone who just adores nature, in particular flowers, you know, the whole concept there of what you bring there with the sun, the sunshine, really just took me on a summer sabbatical to some extent, you know, just picturing, imagining, you know, what you described here, just even made it even more alive. I really like the reference here to the butterfly, when you say, these wonders that draw the bee, butterfly, and others who dance in pollen at a scent to the air. That is beautiful writing. Throughout this poem here, you did a masterful job here, using metaphors, but very much, very intuitively. I like the way you ended it here with life's joy after the shower. It's found in the awakening opening of these graceful gifts of flowers. That's beautiful. It's an absolutely stunning piece.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
And would you like to say anything about your poem, Thomas?
This the other thing was this was frustrating because Daniel Deschino had done a contest called Flower Power, and I had spent a whole lot of time thinking about it, and I was reading a book on chaos theory, and which is where the quote came from, because he was speaking to how nature, often in the process of doing things that it didn't intend, you know, that in trying to do one thing, it creates things that are beautiful, but not because that's what it was intending on doing, you know. And I just thought, I really liked that. Somehow that opened the door for the entire poem to go to Dan's. And I wrote it, and I went to put it in, because the last time I checked, there was, you know, I still had a day left, and there was two people waiting, you know, two spots waiting. And when I got it all written, somehow in the hour and a half it took me to write this, everything filled, and the contest was closed.
Oh, I hate this one.
That's too bad.
You can only go with the way inspiration strikes, you know what I mean? And sometimes it's not in time for the contest that it was written for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had that before there.
But I like the poem, so I decided this was a good way to share it.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate you sharing. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Absolutely. And this is At the Waterfall by Iris 3, and it goes like this. Milk gushes in a scintillating swirl. Ivory mermaids with cobalt blue eyes dart in streaks of flashing white. Silver coins trickling down her hand. Above the bronze rocks liberate foaming fluids, effervescence, gilded in dawn saffron candles. Below, a limpid liquid pool awaits the embrace of this rushing stream, which loosens its knots within a veil of eddying, melting mist. Ripe green clay and loam feed upon crescent meanders of the rivulet. Dryads gather and canter around their queen mermaid of the waterfall. Clinks and tinkles of their laughter echo from deep from inside the crystal ripples as silk curls down from clouds, bringing his cups of sunshine to her. I sit and peek through mossy rocks as threads of pearls and aquamarine entwine around limestone riverbeds, charting their fearless course across a land of evergreen emerald elves, while the waterfall's fleeting fog showers onlookers with cooling drops. End poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful read, Pam. And it was a beautiful poem, so descriptive and vivid in its imagery. Ripe green clay and loam feed upon crescent meanders of the rivulet. Dryads gather and canter around their queen mermaid of the waterfall. Clinks and tinkles of their laughter echo from inside the crystal ripples as a silk curls down from clouds, bringing his cups of sunshine to her. Yeah, just a fantastic imagery poem. What did you think, Sella?
Oh, I love how she really is very descriptive. I agree, and Pam, great read. I love the ending, how she gave us all the description, milky gushes in a scintillate swirl, and how it's dripping clay. But then she's sitting there, picked through mossy rocks, a spread of pearl, enjoying the moment, the land of evergreen and elves. It's like almost she's in a fairy land with the elves and enjoying this beautiful cooling drops, showers. Oh my goodness, I envy her if she was really there. Beautiful. So beautiful. I envy her in a beautiful way. Amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tawa. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I'm going to have to echo what Solwood just said here. You know, I myself was just looking at that prompt and just imagining that, you know, the gushes there or the scintillating swell, you know, of the cascade. And I really like that whole notion, the way she brings us in details of the metaphors here, because, you know, the moment, you know, and I'd like that she said, if I sit and peek through mossy rock, the threads of fur and aquamarine twined around limestone riverbeds. I mean, this poem is so brilliant. It has wonderful lines of metaphors here, and it's just a brilliant poem. I really like the fleeting fall and how it showers with cooling drops. This is really, really a beautiful writing. I really like the way she just took that prompt there and just gave it, you know, a visual. You know, the imagery throughout the poem was striking.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. And
welcome.
Ham, what did you think?
I'm sorry, did you say my name?
Yes.
Okay. I really liked this. It was a wonderful tale told, and I like how she put herself in as the observer in the end stanza. And what a wonderful use of poetic devices such as alliteration and the imagery and the personification of the sun itself. So, excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is by Tito Mustapitz. And Sawa, would you mind reading this, please?
Oh, I'll be honored. Okay, by Tito Mustapitz. Sunset at the beach. Hello there, mind shifter. Step back and see sun is going after you, after a sliced afternoon, tending the reflection, horizon to almost offshore, only to see your face. Hello dear, please look back. Don't flap your scars. Let the crimson light fall on your horizontal lips and the form.
Beautiful read, Sawa. And, you know, this is a vivid poem with his imagery. You know, hello there, mind shifter. Stare back and see sun is going after you after a slight afternoon, sending the reflection horizon to almost offshore. You know, you can see all this as it happens. Beautifully read, written. And what did you think, Pam?
I thought this was a beautiful brevity. I like how it has a very meditative and gentle feel to it, and that it makes me think about the idea of, you know, somebody just, you know, studying life, you know, reflecting on life while sitting on the shore of the ocean. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Sawa, what did you think?
I found it really brilliant how he did the specification of nature. It made me smile. Hello there, mind shifter. I think it's really beautiful and very intelligent the way he did it. Step back and see sun is going after you. I don't know if he really meant it for someone, or for me, I see it like a specification, but possibly. It's just beautiful and brilliant. And at the end also, don't flap your scarf, let the crimson light fall on your horizontal lips. Like, he doesn't want this to be, end this vision of nature. Just beautiful. And I can see that the sunset at the beach is just a gorgeous view. Who would want to look? He doesn't want it to end.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Sawa.
Yeah.
And Frank, what did you think?
Well, this just brought me memories back up there at the Mediterranean Sea over there. the sunset is always a beautiful thing, just as sunrise is. And I also was wondering there, over there, if this was directed to someone personal. Nevertheless, the poem is beautiful, you know. There's only, you know, it's not that much, you know, it's not lengthy at all, but it has a beautiful sentimental beginning with hello there. And then, of course, it ends there with the crimson light falls on your horizontal lips. This is a beautiful homage, I would say, either to the sun or to a lover.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Frank. And I'm going to check the studio and see if Liu has called in yet. Oh, she has. Woo-hoo. Hello, Liu Wild Dog.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Salwa. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
Oh, I see you. Gray Eyes, Pam. Is Tom still on?
No.
Oh, okay. Hi, Phil.
Okay, so I'm posting the next poem. Would you mind reading that, Lee, please?
Okay. What Left Me Cold by Rob Bisms. My freezer door agut. My chest. Hinges rusted ajar. Fire out of reach. Supinionated hands catch shadows in poem.
Thank you, Liu, for reading that. It was a beautiful read. And I had to Google supinated, and it says, of a hand or limb turned or held so that the palm or sole is facing upward or outward. So that's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this is a fascinating little poem. When What Left Me Cold was this freezer door agape. I thought it was just beautifully written. What did you think, Pam?
I think she said she's going to be right back. I don't know if she's back.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Okay, right. 1 second. I find out myself. Where did I go? I don't know. I lost track. Here we go. I'm sorry, I lost track. My freezer, beautiful read. My freezer door a gap, my chest in crystal, fire out of reach, spinated hands get shadow. Very surrealist. I'm really bad with it, but I love the imagery. How, what left me cold. Is it true? Like, maybe it is. Maybe it is the freezer door was open. I don't know if he was being try to be humorous or was real. I'm not sure. It made me puzzle. I should have hushed. I shouldn't have let others comment first so I could cheat a little bit. But it's beautiful.
Great comment. Thank you, Sawa. And Frank?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to make a broader analogy of this poem here, 17 words. I have to go with what Selwa said, you know, about the freezer there, you know, just contemplate a bit about, you know, I've never really thought about that, and I've been to the freezer so many times, I've never really thought about this, what he's written here. But I thought the poem really just, you know, left me thinking, you know. And I like that fact that he says supinated hands catch shadows. Maybe he's talking about somebody else who's also trying to, you know, catch something from the fridge as well, or from the freezer there. Nevertheless, I thought the poem was an excellent, and did have perhaps a wry humor there. Perhaps I'm not sure if it was intended, but I thought he did an excellent job with just 17 words.
Absolutely, yes, thank you, Frank. And I'd like to say welcome back, Pam. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. Post this to the group. Here we go. And this is called Not Mine by Pacifica. Not Mine. It is not mine to tread in truth the lands of which I dream. It is not. Was not, even in youth, to riot in the stream of strobing light and laugh the night away without a care. To glory, sparkling bed night, bed light, in a men's admiring stare. 'Tis not for me to spare small joys and woes with friend or kin. No mirth is mine, but death alloys the moment from within. I shan't be called a mother, wife, or aunt. Such names are not for one unlovable whose life is lived, whose life is only lived in thought. Of love I merely know it's this much. It's not mine to sigh and revel in the lover's touch, or cry is lover's cry. But on the wings of poetry, upon the soaring line, is where I feel in fantasy the things that are not mine. Well, that was a heart-wrenching poem, full of self-doubt and introspection, just beautifully expressed introspective, right? Yeah, just fascinating, right? What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this one really hits hard. It's got a strong emotional impact to it. I particularly like how she opens up. It is not mine to tread the truth, the lands of which I dream. There's this real idea of feeling like you'll never reach that land of milk and honey, you know, and the idea of feeling like you are beyond the reach of love, or that perhaps even that as you were growing up, the idea of what a woman's life should be like to bring her happiness was planted as seeds into your soul. And because for whatever reason, those ideals of womanhood have not come true, you know, you feel broken. And I think what it's important to remember is that happiness and gifts and you know, come in all forms for different people. And, you know, I truly hope that she's able to find what she sees as her happiness, as her life's gifts. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Satwa, what did you think?
I agree. It's really heart-wrenching. Someone who don't see anything that be hers. It's not from the beginning, and the title constantly repeating it. It's not mine to tread in truth, the lands of which I dream. There's a dream. She had a dream. It was not even in youth to write in the stream. I feel like someone who went through a lot from even younger age, and it's just heart-wrenching. It keeps getting more and more intense by seeing how much it's not for me, this is not for me. It really moved me deeply, and I agree with them. I hope she find her way and find the light of happiness.
Thank you, Sawa. Great comment. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I don't know if I can comment after these comments. Yeah, this is obviously the poem is mired in a sense of isolation, a sense of forlornness, a sense of sadness, but it also has a sense of realization and reflection there. You know, I think all of us can absolutely, I'm certain I could say, can relate to this poem in one way or the other. You know, perhaps I'm not a female to know what a mother is, but I do know what a human feels like when you don't have such things, you know, or you miss others, you know. So I can certainly relate to this poem. I thought it was very powerful, very visceral. And I like the fact that she acknowledges her own fragility, you know, and she acknowledges with an admission, a candid of truth there, a candor of truth like that. And I like that. I like the poem. I like the candor in this poem here. And the thoughts overall, you know, it leaves you pensive. It leaves you thinking, you know, how much are we really different than the author here who wrote this? You know, as we go through our journeys, you know, our experiences in life.
Yeah, great comment. Thank you, Frank. And Louie Weldo, what did you think?
You know, she expresses, you know, I hope this isn't her life. You know, for a child to believe that all she can do is dream is because she will not be admired by men's stare. And she says she has small joys, but, you know, she brings out here that I shan't be called a mother, a wife. And this is things that, you know, a lot of women and girls are raised that you want to grow up and, you know, you want to be a mother and wife. She says, but, you know, or aunt. She says, but these names are not for one unlovable. She believes she's not lovable, whose life is only lived in thought. So she lives in her dreams. This is extremely beautifully sad written poem.
Well said. Thank you, Lee. Well done. Okay, I've got the next poem here. This is by I Love Poems, a.k.a. Sawa. And we have a SoundCloud for her. So I will play that.
Thank you. I love poems. Until jusqu'à Chinois. She cried to you. She's being consoled. Until her tender silhouette sang and danced cheerfully under the falling rain in your wondering eyes. And now, will she know that her heart will taste love once more? Elle pleurait sans être consolée jusqu'à ce que sa tendre silhouette chante et danse joyeusement sous la pluie diluvienne dans tes yeux émerveillés. Et maintenant, saura-t-elle que son cœur goûtera l'amour à nouveau? Les pianse senza essere consolata fino alla sua tenera figura canta e balla felicemente sotto la pioggia che cade nei suoi occhi stupidi. E ora lei sa ora che suo cuore assaggerà l'amore di nuovo. In this poem.
Beautiful read, Sawa, and such a touching poem. You know, you can feel the tenderness in this right and the love that she has for her partner. I thought it was just beautifully done. What did you think, Cam?
Thank you. Sorry, I spilled water on me, sorry. Thank you. Great.
Absolutely.
I thought this was absolutely beautiful. You have a really nice way, Sawa, of reading brevities on your SoundCloud to where you slow your voice down in order to allow the listener to linger upon every word. And I this is absolutely beautiful all the way through. And I like the idea of someone who cries and longs for someone, who loves someone way past the point that they should be deserving of their love, you know, and the sense of betrayal and sadness in this is just absolutely poignant and very well done.
Thank you so much, Pam. And thank you, Gray, again. I'm sorry I was laughing, literally spilled water on old bottle of water on me, sorry.
That's okay. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was a very exquisite ride. I could the emotions were very deep and very palpable. The lines were tangibly felt. I mean, there is that sense of reflection I see in this poem here. You know, knowing what has been experienced and learning from that experience as well. And at the same time, as with Solwa, she always brings us that sense of hope, you know. Her heart, well, she knows that her heart will taste love once more. You're offering that to this person, you know, not as something that you're, like, you know, bringing into the face of that individual, but you're offering that you are much more than just, you know, a fragile woman. You are strong, and you can move on with your life, and that's how I felt to that line there.
Thank you so much, Frank.
You're welcome.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. And Lou Waldo, what did you think?
This was absolutely heart-wrenching and beautiful. It just weighed so heavy on your heart. You know, anytime you get involved with somebody, you know you're not the first. And what happens is that you hope in some way you will be the last memory that they keep, that you, you know, even though you're not the first, you're hoping that, you know, like she says right here, her tender silhouette sang and danced cheerfully under the falling rain in his wondering eyes, because you look for that acceptance in their eyes. And she's hoping that this love will be the last for the both of them. Beautiful poem, Sala.
Oh, thank you so much, Louisa. It's great to hear you.
Sala, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Oh, this was for a contest for I really inspired me the quote. It's beautiful. It's so tiny now. I don't know if you can read it, but really inspiring. I will never be the first. You named it, kind of, Luyo, of so many things for you. I care too late after life and love were woven into the tapestry of your existence. I care not about love first, but I will fight knuckles bloody and teeth sharpened for your last. Take the old first and put them to rest, silent below the dirt and ash of old, the new ones will burn through. Take them, but give them the last. So it's just very, very, very inspiring. And yes, I'm going to stop it at here. Thank you.
Thank you, Sala. Okay, I've got your poem up, Frank, and you have a SoundCloud, so I'll play that.
You know that it would be so cool if I took you to see the stars tonight. We could relax and break every rule, forget the troubles under the starlight. You know that the evening is still early. I just want to see those pearly eyes, touch the swirls of your hair so curly, fly above like a dove reaching the sky. We can make the heaven shine bright if we let our wings take us on a fantastic ride beyond any conceived wild psychedelic night. We can get high on our love and just glide. Let's feel the moment and let it take us away to a groovy place where rock and roll reigns. And we can drive on to the universal highway where we don't need no roads nor double lanes. We can be time travelers of our incredible romance. We can make the whole world listen to our song. We can make the sun and the moon dance. We can be a streaking comet all night long. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire and let our match burn fire. Let the naked flames inspire, 'cause I can be your wildfire. Let me be your true desire. Let's go, baby, even higher. Oh, come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire and let our match burn fire. Let the naked flames inspire, 'cause I can be your wildfire. Let me be your true desire. Let's go, baby, even higher.
Excellent read, Frank. And, you know, I thought you did
come
the song just
this way. Light my fire.
you can cut it off if you want to. Just the music in the background.
Yeah, that was a beautiful read, Frank. And, you know, I really liked your intermixing of the actual song lyrics in your poem. You know, you did this song justice with your right. Just fantastic imagery. And you can feel the love and the emotion and the passion in it.
Yeah.
Wonderfully done.
I really love the song. I just love the Doors. I love that song. That's why I just, when I saw this prompt here, I just had to go with the song.
Beautifully done. And
thank you.
Pam, what did you think?
I really like this. The Doors and Jim Morrison, one of my all-time favorites. This is just a wonderful song. And I really like, Frank, that you did fit in the song lyrics in here and put in your own words, because it really made it ring with that Jim Morrison vibe, and yet also brought forth your own voice as well. And I think what really you did well with this, which is not surprising because it's the type of poetry you often do best at, is that you caught the true passion of the song. So just a really stunning write and very well done.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Steph.
Thank you, Frank. I mean, thank you, Pam. And Sawa, what did you think?
Yes, I really agree with you, Pam. And I like how he took us back to the this era with the wording. Just, and the song itself, I mean, the poem itself, mm-hmm. gives you the feeling of an invitation to someone special, so beautiful. It's just, in some places, I really wanted to smile, like laugh. It's so cute when you say, come on, baby, light my fire the way you need it. And I agree, you just write this just beautifully. You can write everything, but this is you do it very beautifully, the passionate poem.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's I would say to you, Sawa, it's groovy.
Groovy. I don't know what
groovy. It's groovy, baby.
I don't know. I don't know what is groovy. I have to look it up. I honestly don't know. So I'm going to look it up.
All right. Thank you for sharing, Frank. It was wonderful, right?
Would
you like to take a look at your poem?
Yeah, I mean, the poem itself was just based on the song, of course, in a bit of the era, the 60s, which I don't know much about. But I just wanted to go a little bit. I threw in some word in there, you know, beyond just the groovy. I threw in some other words, cool and so be it, just to get that little bit of the ambience of the 60s and try to relive, you know, the Doors and Jim Morrison, you know. So I just wanted to take you on a, I guess I would take you on a journey there back to the past with this song here. And hopefully fire was lit there.
Yeah, you did a great job. Excellent job.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that.
Okay, Luyu, would you mind reading, please?
Okay. I just wanted to tell Frank, I really love that poem. I like the Doors. You really pulled all of us back into that era of Come On Baby, Light My Fire. I mean, those are lyrics that are just, you know, that in the minute that they're said, you know what it is. And that era, how everybody, at that time, they wanted to love everybody and everything. Excellent poem, Frank. I really enjoyed it.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. I'm glad your fire was lit there.
Yeah. Excellent poem.
Thank you very much.
You're going to make me start coughing from breathing too hard. So let me see if I can read this. I'm going to hang up, Gray, after I read this, because...
Do you want me to read it for you? Do you want me to read it instead?
No, I'm going to see if I can read it, and if I can't, I would appreciate it.
All right.
These Crimson Roads by Crystal Hope. Crimson blood roads carry me home. Home to the place I wasn't alone. Thunderstorms beckon on window panes as my brunette strand dangled on the bed frame. Car engines rumbled past sunset glares, glares that sparked off your rapid stare. I echoed the laughter in your blue eyes, and your lips matched the cherry skies. We hiked hand in hand on a brisk peak, busting off the the rose dimples of your cheek. Your lips were sweet like watermelon lollipop, and oxygen telling you not to stop. But now, the crimson roads weather against us like a tethered rope bleeding nylon pus. I gazed at your eyes fading away in the garnet of the evening day. Charcoal branches sweep against my window as my chest twists to the wind's blow. Red car lights blurry in the distance with my cranberry eyes misting. End poem.
Thank you. As a faith in the quote, the only thing between us, this unbearable distance, this unspeakable craving, and it's got pain, love, sadness, friendship, miscellaneous and missing as its descriptors. But, you know, I thought it was a beautiful, right? You know, filled with fantastic imagery. And you can feel the emotion and the loss in the right. Just an amazing poem. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is definitely an amazing poem. Powerful imagery, great rhyme and flow, really emotive. And I like how it's separated into two parts, that which used to be and that which, you know, and then what is current, what no longer exists. And just great imagery all the way through. I really like your lips were sweet like a watermelon lollipop. And like a tethered rope bleeding nylon pus. Putting nylon and pus together really is visceral, but works well to grab the reader's attention. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Sawa, what did you think?
Beautiful read, Luyu. It's really very emotive. And I as Pam said, the contrast between the first and the second going to grab you, how happy and how enjoying what they did together. We hiked hand in hand on this peak. And then even telling you not to stop. There's so much there. But now just this transition is so sad. And you can feel how much, even in the, like, crying and missing with cranberry eyes misting, and waiting at the window, you can visually can see it, well done, and very sad at the end.
Well said. Thank you, Sawa. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I am a big fan of Crystal's, and the one thing I've always appreciated about her poems is the raw emotions that she's, you know, the emotions that she throws in her poetry here. You know, I like the fact that she began with crimson blood, roads carrying me home. There's a sense of nostalgia in this piece here, of these lines, you know, the first three. But then, of course, you know, there's a sense of sensuality as well, which I do appreciate that. But I like the fact that the poem, you know, it gives us the most humane side of, you know, that longing and also there, you know. It is something very, very palpable in this poem here, but I really like the usage of metaphors in here. There's a lot of exquisite lines, beautiful metaphors. I just thought it was a, you know, a sorrowful piece, but it was also, you know, central and very beautiful as well.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem here, and I will give this a read. It's by David Meyerhoff. It's called Alien to Earthen. I evacuate the pearl flying within the chasm of blank space to ignite the spark that regenerates goodwill. Pressing this flame onto the onlookers leads to a contagion of fear, like an electric chain reaction, brings joy to those touched by the inner workings of these other dimensions. To rest on our laurels alone only leads to complacency. Let's further this brush of fire of wonder by plumbing the deep dive into this alien technology, ushering into our plane of existence, an abundance of blessing, like a waiter serving up apple pie special, chewed into our daily lives. Cheek to cheek, we begin to see our neighbor as benefactor and giver, not the mere consumer or rival for resources. The threat to status quo can only be a good thing when the natural evolution seamlessly leads to the sweet nectar of tomorrow's joy. And that's beautiful. You know, it's deeply philosophical, and I really like the interweavings of the alien technology and, you know, how we see our neighbors. And I thought it was just beautifully done. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, it was really cool the way he interwove the idea of the alien technology, and how oftentimes when surrounded by people, we feel very alien ourselves. And I like how it shows us that when we learn to work together with our neighbors, you know, when we learn not to make life a competition, that's when the true evolution, the true reward comes to us. So excellent, right, and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Sawa, what did you think?
I think Sawa had to go.
Oh, okay. And Frank, what did you think? Thank you, Frank.
Well, I really like what Pam was saying here. I mean, you know, I like the title, Alien to Earth. And, you know, it almost feels that at times we are, you know, alien to each other. Although we are neighbors to some, you know, it's just the mind-blowing thing, you know, about relationships and how we relate to each other as humans. The lines are very, very, they're very impressive lines throughout this poem here. But I like the message here, you know, to rest on our laurels alone leads to complacency. Then, of course, the mention of the status quo can only be a good thing when the natural evolution seamlessly leads to the sweet nectar of tomorrow. There's a lot of deep philosophical thoughts in this piece here that I thought were very much to heed, very attentive, you know. And I really like the way, the direction of this poem went.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is by Just Poppy. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam, when you see it.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. All right.
There we go.
All right. And my writing table shares space with a galaxy star. By Just Poppy, and it goes like this. My strawberry hair is pouting, but my vanilla flowers are sprouting. My marshmallow earbuds are a tangled mess, but I got a new chocolate silk dress. My bunny hop socks are missing, but my shiny pet frocks are kissing. My wisdom teeth are not very smart, but Grandma made me a lemon pie chart. My feet are always stuck to the ground, but in my dreams I can fly around. My imagination may be crazy and wild, but when I wrote this poem, my faithful pen smiled. End poem.
I really liked that. That was fun. You know, beautiful imagery, and you can see all these things as it comes through. My bunny hop socks are missing, but my shiny pet rocks are kissing. My wisdom teeth are not very smart, but Grandma made me a lemon pie chart. Just fascinating, right? What did you think, Frank?
Well, you know, it has a sense of, I mean, the creativity is very much appreciative in this poem. It's a brevity, but I like that innocent nature of this piece here. It was a bit whimsical in the sense that it, you know, imaginative as well. You know, I like the notion there of just, you know, letting that pin take you to where your imagination, you know, leads, you know, where it ultimately leads to inspire you. And I really like, you know, her, that aspect of this poem, the creativity that's presented in this piece here.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Frank. And Pam, what did you think?
I had so much fun writing this, and not writing it, sorry. I would have had fun writing it. I had so much fun reading this, and I have no doubt that this young lady had great fun writing it. Just delightful lines all the way through. I did like the lemon pie chart reference. Very clever and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. Okay, let me grab the next poem here. This was by Rolling Stone. And do you think you could read this, Frank?
Hold on. Let me see if I can find it on here. Just bear with me here. All right, I have it now here. It just seems that some certain periods of the hour of the day, my phone is a lot more operating. At times it's slow. It's called, this is by Rolling Stone, All of Us Trying to Find Identity, and it goes like this. To those who write poems, proper metaphors, unfolding us like paper umbrellas in August winds, we should fly to the moon and give away flowers, dozens of bouquets with iridescent stars. What thoughts have you tonight? Scribbling in syllables of trim, drum beat staccato, more and more laughter took it on from the corner of our eyes. Euphoria is one thing that makes us come alive. We belong to it. We ache for it. Precious paradise, laving in bluest tide pools. Cool thoughts upon the hour, she simply replied. Oh, Pearl, have a peach. Hope you find me sweet. Neon lights blinking eyes, the unshaven city leaving you there in your underwear. The full moon watching with a hungry look and endless eyeballs among the wishing coin. You'll be joining us. You see, talking to angels, drunken hallucinations, laughing on rooftops in the grey beard of love path dreaming, swimming the night in skirts and wings, gliding across the aqua midnight, beauty in everything possible with open smiles, as September skies follow our flight, asking how how butterflies dip their wings, how they flutter so easily, how do they find wildflowers in those ruffling breezes. What thoughts have you tonight? Oh, peach, I'm a pear. I'm a pearl. Hope you find me on the beach. Soft destiny looks upon us. Best ceremonies of flavors and promises, like where bees go when the pollen grows, songbirds singing in soft morning whisperings, wishing our way in humming wings of merriment tunes. Where did you think you should be? Tell me here, there, cheerful enough in the blur of morning drinking coffee, morning haze upon our eyes. Meant to be, I guess. We walk the shore accompanying each other's invitation, seeming quite cheerful and well enough, talking to another poem. Each of us writing feelings upon the sky made of paper. Let's tell them what we see, what life looks like, dreaming about certain things, like a rock and roll rabbit, like that pearl on that beach, like homemade ice cream. What thoughts have you tonight in the poem? Well, quite all right.
Yeah. I, you know, what thoughts I have tonight is that cherry pie would really go good with that ice cream, Pam.
Oh, ice cream for me. Thought it out there.
It would. Absolutely.
Yeah. yeah, it was a wonderful, right, full of powerful metaphors and just deeply penned throughout. Neon lights, blinking eyes, the unshaven city leaving you there in your underwear, the full moon watching with a hungry look, and endless eyeballs among the wishing coin. Will you be joining us? Yeah, just fascinating, right? Beautifully done. What did you think, Pam?
I really liked this. I felt like it had a very surreal and dreamlike quality. I liked the repetitive stanza of, oh, Pearl, I'm a peach, hope you find me sweet, and neon lights, blinking eyes, the unshaven city leaving you there in your underwear, the full moon watching. There's some really creative lines, and to me, it really gives a sense of wonderment to how much you can enjoy another person's presence. And get lost in one another in the overwhelming crowd of the city. Just a real great write all the way through and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I thought the piece was a very much. It had a sense of, I would say, not only just one of these contemplative pieces, it also has beautiful metaphors, the exquisite ones. You know, you see us talking to angels, drunk on illuminations, laughing on rooftops. You know, that image, you know, isn't really that so far-fetched when you think about, you know, and just sitting there, you know, what you imagine, how much your imagination can take you. And then we've got this poem really based on that foundation of of the imagination here in the inspiration that he had in this particular piece here. I like the repetition of, oh, peach, I'm a pearl, you know, hope you find me on the beach. There is something romantic about this. You know, there's some romanticism in this piece here, you know, and I really thought that you did an excellent job here with this piece here. I think that all of us certainly are trying to find our identity. You know, in a poet, we tend to use the word of, you know, the words in metaphors and so be it, to give us, you know, to give life to our thoughts and our emotions in poetry.
Absolutely, wonderful comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I have the next poem up. It's by Martha Gettle, and she has a SoundCloud, so I will post that.
The Snowy Owl by Martha Gettle. Annie and I fell in love a long, long time ago, and Annie's love filled my heart and soul. But our love was too great, you see. It left others envying her and me. There was an evil witch in the town. Determined to her, I would be bound. But I told her I would never go with her. Really pissed her off, that's for sure. Then she cast an evil spell on me, determined that I never would be free. She trapped me as an owl for all my life until I agreed to make her my wife. But my love came looking for me, and if this is as close as we can ever be, I'll stay just as close to her as I can, though I am an owl and not a man. Yes, our love still lives just the same, though we are stuck in the witch's game. I love her, and I always will. Though I'm an owl, I love her still. But the witch, she found out at last that I was still tied to my past. She determined she would bring an end to all that stopped me from heeding her call. So she cast a spell that night, an evil-powered spell of fire and might. And the house my love was sleeping in became a funeral pyre of death and sin. The witch just stood and she laughed through it all. She thought at last into her arms I'd fall. But I had eyes only for my love. If she died, I'd follow her above. So I flew over to the raging fire. I could see my love in her funeral pyre. I flew toward her and rested near. So in love I felt no pain nor fear. She reached out, touched me again, and I felt a rippling through her skin. And suddenly, so quickly, I did not even see there's a beautiful snowy owl like me. And we rose high up into the sky. We saw the witch staring as we flew by. This may not be what we were hoping for, but Annie and I will be together forevermore. End poem.
It's beautifully read and written. I was expecting her to sing, but when she didn't, you know, and she read, that was just a beautiful thing. I thought it was just a fantastic poem on, you know, this haunting tale of being turned into an owl and, you know, wanted by some witch to be your man. And, you know, but you're in love with somebody else who the witch tries to kill. And your lover becomes an owl just like you are. Just a beautiful, right? Well, filled with fantastic imagery and emotions. What did you think, Cam?
Yeah, wonderful rhyme and couplets. I like that she used the couplets to tell this epic tale of magic and love. And it was a great dark tale. And I liked how at the end she had that nice twist that made it happy with the idea of them unexpectedly being owls together. So very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I believe this is like the second poem or the first. I'm not certain if I've actually heard her read, which is also a delight. I agree, this poem, I like the personification or the embodiment of the usage of the owls for love. You know, I really like Martha has a wonderful insight to, you know, just life experiences, in particular to love. And she brings us on a journey here that makes us traverse, you know, through each one of these couplets here, you know, just that whole notion of how we can transform ourselves, you know, or we can at least, you know, find ourselves identifying through an owl in this case, or some other creature, and using that analogy to describe the depth of love and what comes with it. You know, I like the lines, the best lines I like were the ones where I flew toward her and rested near, so in love I felt no pain or fear. That's a very romantic, it's a very romantic piece, although it's a very, you know, deep, dark ride at times. It does have that you know, that sentimental value of love and offering a bit of, I would say, of solace.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. Wonderful comment. Okay, I'm going to go to the next poem here. Post this to the group. And Pam, would you mind reading for some Aramind?
I'd be happy to. This is The Gypsy Heart by Samir Amin, and it goes like this. Under the roof of the blue dome, when the rebellious wind mates with the stubborn waves, your insurgent heart is born. When the rays of the scorching sun cause the rocks of the rugged mountains to become dilapidated, the firmness of your sturdy heart is revealed. The resolute heart that gives your face its strong, determined countenance. When the harsh winter tests the patience of the long-suffering forest, your heart remains steadfast until the advent of the promised spring. Your glowing heart always gives your enchanting eyes their captivating beauty, the eyes that always receive their hazel color whenever the autumn leaves fall, and your hair gets its gleaming blackness when the autumn's misty, moonless sky becomes covered with its fluffy cloud, when the waves of the ocean summon your soul that belongs to its depths at its core. Your wild heart dances in this turbulent ocean as its rough waves resonate so deeply with your wild rhythm of life. You always dance barefoot on the sands of your destiny oceans, producing seismic waves of happiness into the bark of the trees that rehearse your singing when they emit their aromatic breath, which enlivens the somber heart of the inert horizon. Your real abode always resides deep into my soul as an eternal calling that calls for the wild freedom that inhibits my throbbing heart. Whenever it overflows with the stubborn, rebellious, unbridled love and poem.
Thank you, Pam. That was a beautiful read. And, you know, it's wonderful, right? You know, filled with the beauty in somebody who can stand against the rough winds and the rough seas and have their eyes glow in the hazel of the winter, of the leaves of autumn. Just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Frank?
Well, I don't know if I have the correct words to say more than this is a very striking piece here. It's a very, very, very extraordinary rite, you know, the whole notion of the gypsy heart, you know, it's a free spirit. And I noticed this throughout this poem, he seemed at will, you know, at ease, make that. When he wrote this, it's a very romantic piece. There is a lot of beautiful lines in this poem here. I can't really select one, but I think I would go with the one with the when the waves, or the couplets, when the waves of the ocean summon you, so belongs to its depth at its core, your wild heart dances in this turbulent ocean. This is just beautiful. I really enjoyed the direction of this poem as well, you know, the inspiration that he put up in this piece here and how he gave the devotion in this piece is very seamless.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was a great read, Pam, as well.
And so I'm going to grab the next poem here, and I'll post this to the group once I can get to it. Here we go. Okay. And this is by Poem Prince, if you wouldn't mind, please, Frank.
Yeah, just bear with me here. I don't see it on the...
Yeah. I just got to refresh it.
Yeah. I was trying to refresh. Do you have it on?
Yeah.
All right, let me see if it's here where I'm at. Okay, just bear with me here. There's a poem here by Poem Prince called Hawkstyle Kyle, My Brother, My Hero. My big brother Mason is my greatest hero. He's 6 and has not only so much love and affection for people, but so much positive strength and courage in his struggle with diabetes. He does get frustrated and angry sometimes, but thanks to the courage Mommy and Daddy have instilled in him, he always manages to get right back up again. Mason's never won any awards or prizes for anything, but that doesn't make one a hero. My Mommy and Daddy say, being a hero isn't performing some heroic deed like Superman. What award gets placed in your hands? Being a hero is your strength inside of you, not being afraid to take a chance, to try new things and not letting the waves sink you when your life gets hard. My brother is just like that. Just like Mommy and Daddy, and I suppose I take after him. I love, love, love Mason. I'm so very proud of him. The positive faith he's got with a family who loves him so, I don't think this diabetes will kill him anytime soon. For all I know, Mason could very well live to be 150. With me by his side, he could even live to be 200. After all, love inspires many things. In parentheses, I'm not sure if it's quotes, I came up with that myself in the poem.
Wonderful reading, Frank.
Sorry, yeah.
It's a very touching poem about, you know, the love of a brother who's a hero to you due to all his inspirational existence through this struggling of life. And I thought it was just beautifully expressed. Pam, what did you think?
I really enjoyed that this was told from the perspective of a child who admires their brother, and that it brings to thought the important topic of, that there are children out there who have to struggle with diabetes and have to go through, getting their blood sugars tested and all that, and really just a great reminder that heroes don't have to be somebody who does something big and grand. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Frank, what did you think?
I'm going to have to agree with that comment there. You know, I think the biggest inspiration that we sometimes, oversee is that of a brother. You know, sometimes we find our superheroes, outside of our family. You know, we tend to go with the most obvious ones, like in this case, Superman, Yet at the same time, we don't realize that our biggest influences or our biggest heroes in life tend to be those that we know in life, not those that we see on the telly. And I really like the whole notion here that my brother is my hero. That admission there, an acknowledgement of what this person represents to him or to the poet or the poetess. I don't know if it's a male or female. I just think that the message in this poem is one that we should heed. And it's very sad that we have to, that he has to endure this episode of diabetes and so young. And I know it's practically impossible to think that one would get to 200, 150, but just that whole notion there of, offering, the comfort, offering the brotherly love that stands for itself on its own.
Well said. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
And yes, every day people can be someone's hero, as Leah Wildup said in her comment on the group. Okay, so I've got the next write-up, and it's by Kajina Bog. Yeah, and it's called Kit. He seems perfect to everyone, but I could see in his eyes the spoiling wound in his heart, the pain that made him so harsh. What made him feel so heavy, though, I do not know, for he speaks no word. I can see his white side, but why can't he? When I ask him what is bothering him inside, he just go away and solve those prodigious math. Yet I know he's got no answers for the questions in his heart. Beautiful, right? You know, it's sad and it's deep, but, you know, it's definitely, I think, a stage we all go through where we're hurting and we don't know how to express it, or why we're hurting for that matter. And, you know, I thought it was a deep right. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is a really deep right. And I like that it's a tribute to someone who obviously struggles to see their own self-worth. You know, and that this person reminds them that they are of worth, that they do have something to offer people. And, you know, just beautifully written and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, you know, Greg and Pam, now this is a poem that really speaks about, you know, relationship at times between men and women, you know, whether regardless of the age, you know, how we still at times don't recognize each other, you know, we don't see beyond, you know, the common things that, you know, that unite us, but at the same time bind us, you know. And this whole notion here of offering yourself to someone, in particular to this individual, and for that individual not to recognize, you know, I think all of us can really, you know, relate to this in, you know, one way or the other, in our relationships, you know, past or present, how much we really don't really, we think we understand our lover or our, you know, our significant other, so be it. And yet at times we don't realize that there's much more than just providing for someone, or much more from just saying a sweet word or a sweet kiss. Relationships at times do require, you know, effort and understanding of each other. And I think this poem really made me think tonight about that. And, you know, I'm very grateful that this piece was here, because it should be one that we should all reflect on, you know, in our relationships.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. Okay, so I'm trying to find a poem to post up. Maybe you two could look for a poem that you could post, because we're kind of out of poems.
All right, I'll see if I can find one quickly. Just bear with me.
Okay, I'm going to post mine up here.
All right.
So this is called "I'm a Pickup Truck Man" by Grey Eyes Smith. I'm a pickup truck man. Can you spare a jerry can? Driving fast is my plan. Got to meet my number one fan. She's got a natural tan. Tell you where it all began. Not on the coast of Japan, nor the country of Iran. She saw my lips, then saw them again. Went straight to her hips. So she took an astral train across a cosmic plane. Brought me dreams so sweet. I woke up in a wet sheet. I asked her, could she do it again? I'm a pickup truck man. Can you spare a jerry can? Driving fast is my plan. Gotta meet my number one fan. It was hard to explain. She asked if I could refrain. I said, hell no. Come on, baby, let's go. I'm a pickup truck man. Can you spare a jerry can? Driving fast is my plan. Got to meet my number one fan. End poem. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, my goodness. I'm, like, freaking cracking up. Oh, man. You have such a great reading voice. You have a great reading voice, but you have a great singing voice. And then, you know, this whole just country vibe to it. Really just, I love how just downright hick you get with this. I'm a pickup truck man. Can you spare a jerry can? Driving fast is my plan. Got to meet my number one fan. Hell yeah. Good stuff there, Gray.
And Frank, what did you think?
Well, first of all, if Louie was here, I would have loved to hear her comment this too. This was just brilliant, my friend. First of all, I really like the rendition here, but I really like these lines, you know, very tight lines here. You know, the ones you say some very good lines here in these two stanzas. She saw my lips and sold them again, went straight to her hips, she took an astral train. Then you go on to say, across a cosmic plane, brought me dreams so sweet, I woke up in a wet sheet, I asked her, could she do it again? But you know something, my friend, if you're, you know, I don't know too many pickup truckmen, I rarely see them, but when I do comment on them, I'm going to ask them for some pickup lines. And you know, see, I'm going to say, my good friend Gray asked me to inspire myself there with you know, some lines there. So I'm going to ask them next time they come pick up my garbage there, what lines they have for pickup lines. Hint, hint.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. And, okay, Frank, you're up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, yeah, bear with me. All right, this is a piece really quick here. It's called The Crystals Your Eyes, and it's basically a piece that talks about, although it's a bit of romance, it has a serious issue on depression. And it goes like this. I look deep into the crystals of your eyes. I can see a beauty in the reflection of turquoise, the true purity of a vestal gleam once so pellucid, beyond the vast ocean of your tristful tears of gloom. I feel the dripping hue of the colors of your pain as the remaining heap of leaves wither in the wind and the restless balls crackled with the coldness, for the days are short and the nights are too long. When I touch the texture of your dry lips once red, I can sense the yearning for a soft caress of spring, a flower's metal or sad with your loneliness, and the storm of winter blinds you from the stars. I see more than the frozen stare that the world sees, for I shall make the sparkle in your eyes return with glee. Make the leaves dance with fresh blossoming flowers. Make the sun melt the bitter frost into the puddles of dew. I'll be with you in the darkness until the light of a morning sun shines upon the dull melancholy of the exile of your sable shadow. And I'll make the rainbow appear, so I open the curtains of your woes. I am the one to lift up with my wings, your spirit to fly high above in the sky. Just hold on to me, for I'll never leave you. End of poem.
Well, that was a beautiful dedication to your love, and
I have to say the poem is a romantic piece, but the prompt is not there, but it was a prompt that was based on, you know, a woman who is going through a very tough time in life, you know, and going through depression, and offering myself there to be there, you know, to help her, you know, cope with sadness as well. And struggles.
Well, I thought, you know, it was heartfelt and endearing throughout.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful write,
yeah.
Frank.
Thank you.
And Pam, what did you think?
To agree, I think it was a great response to the prompt. It's beautiful. It's heartfelt. I did catch on to the thought that it is about, you know, being there for someone, that love and connection that happens during difficult times. So very well done there, Frank.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, and thank you for allowing me to read this poem here on the air.
No, absolutely. Pleasure to have you. And, okay, Pam, did you have a poem that you could post?
I put a poem on the board. It's not on,
okay.
You know, on your topic board. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll grab it.
Just a little shorty. I wasn't sure how much time, so I just put up a limerick that I figured
okay.
People would enjoy.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
And this is an untitled limerick that goes like this. There once was a gal who loved wood. The thick and the thin were all good. She sighed, oh, poor me, my love of the trees is too often misunderstood. End poem.
Well, that was wonderful, a little brevity. I thought it was fabulous, right? You know, full of imagery and emotion, you know. and I like the play of words, you know. There once was a gal who loved wood. The thick and thin were all good. She sighed, oh, poor me, my love of the trees is too often misunderstood. An excellent, right, you know, with such few words. Very heartfelt and impactful. Frank, what did you think?
Well, this poem was, I have to say, I know we're running out, but I just love Pam's humor. she has this way of humor that really is, you know, at this late hour, I can still laugh at this. But this is just an incredible ride. You know, there's only five lines in this piece. But, you know, I like that analogy to the wood, you know, something about the thick and thinness of the wood. But I like that you really have, you know, you bring up the imagery here of the tree there. And I can certainly you know, grasp onto this bow near. You know, so it's a better team. I thought it was just a good bow. I wouldn't leave it at that because I don't want to go anywhere else beyond there too late at this hour.
I get that. Well, thank you to both of you for your comments.
Well, I'm going to grab my sangria afterwards and I'll ponder the bone.
Right.
There you go. Sounds like a good night.
Pam, would you like to say anything about your poem?
What's that?
Would you like to say anything about your poem, Pam?
Yeah, well, you know, to me, I mean, you know, a limerick is a fun form to play with, you know, and the thing is, traditionally, limericks were meant to be very crude. They were oftentimes about things of a personal nature said in crude ways. But what has become great about the limerick over the years, it's been able to be used to go beyond that. And what I wanted to do, as is probably obvious to most people, is to put my toe up to the line but not cross it so that it could be read in a couple different ways. And I always enjoy a twist at the end because I think that's really what throws people for a loop. But as I said, really, when it comes to humor, the limerick and the monotetra are two of my absolute favorite forms, as I feel that they deliver the humorous lines to the best effect. So.
Well, you did a fantastic job with that, Pam. And would you like to say anything about any upcoming shows, Pam, or contests that you have open?
Yes. On tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time is Rhythm and Rhyme, Rex's show. And he's got a pre-writes contest running, you know, with writes inspired by the music or song that makes you happy. And then for his After Midnight show, he has a pre-writes contest looking for Bukowski-inspired writes. And for my dark show on Friday, I have a contest running on the topic of family annihilators. So definitely, as I always say, keep an eye out on all the contests and topic boards put up by all our late night hosts and hostesses, because you're always sure to find something to inspire.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for calling in tonight, Pam.
I was going to say really quick that I hope if I get time, Pam, I'll see if I can write for that the one that you sent me.
Oh, that would be great. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you for calling, everybody. Pam, Salwa, Frank, Thomas, Liu, I appreciate you all. Wonderful. Much love, poets.
Take care, my friends.
Good night, Frank.
Take care. And Happy New Year's again, everyone.
Happy New Year's.
Hopefully your New Year's resolution gets solved. Take care.
Bye.